Well, here we go. Buckle up. You know what I'm going to say. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is Parsha Ekev, and that would be Deuteronomy chapter 7, about halfway through verse 12. And it says, these are, of course, the words that Moshe is now speaking to Kol Israel, literally in the last month of his life, kind of his farewell address. And he says this, "And it shall come to pass," or some renderings would say, "and because." But in any case, the word there is Ekev. So the Parsha is called Ekev. It's an interesting word because if you notice the first place, I believe this first place that you see the word Ekev is a reference to the fellow Yaakov, who's a heel grabber. And that is what Ekev literally means, is heel. So what is the connection? Well, it's kind of interesting because, think of it this way, it follows. So it follows that because you hearken to these ordinances and keep them to do them, so because it follows, the idea, in other words, of Ekev is that heel follows toe. So it's kind of what follows logically in a line. And the interesting comment here that from the Rashiism is, because you have obeyed my voice, essentially, to keep and do these things, then all this good will happen. Yahuwah, your El, will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto your fathers. And it says, and he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He'll also bless the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, your corn, your wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle, the young of your flock, and of the land which he swore unto your fathers to give you. And you shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And Yahuwah will take away from you all sickness, and he will put none of the evil diseases of Mitzrayim or Egypt upon you, which you know, but will lay them instead upon all of them that hate you. And you shall consume all the peoples that Yahuwah your El will deliver before you. Your eye will not pity them, nor shall you serve their gods, because that would be a snare to you. And actually, some renderings say, for that will be a snare unto you, as if, Moses knows that is, in fact, going to be the case. If you'll say in your heart, these nations are more than I, how can I possibly dispossess them? Well, you shall not be afraid of them. And remember well what Yahuwah your El did to Pharaoh, and indeed unto all Egypt. The great trials which your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, the outstretched arm, whereby Yahuwah your El brought you out, so shall Yahuwah your El do unto all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, Yahuwah your El will send the hornet among them, till they're left, and they that hide themselves perish from before you. You shall not be affrighted of them, for Yahuwah your El is in the midst of you, a God great and awesome. And Yahuwah your El will cast out these nations from before you, and they'll do so little by little. And that's an interesting comment, and he explains why. So that you're not, you don't consume them too quickly, that the beasts of the field might increase upon you. In other words, you got to keep the beasts of the field down too. So we're going to do this in a measured fashion. But Yahuwah your El shall in fact deliver them up before you, and shall discomfit them with a great discomfiture until they are destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hand, and you'll make their name to perish from under the heavens. Hashemayim. There'll be no man able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. Okay. All right, there we go. We got the mic back again, hopefully. All right, got some ones. Good. So he'll deliver their kings into your hand till they're destroyed. The graven images of their gods you shall burn with fire. You shall not covet the gold or silver that's on them, nor take it unto you, lest you be snared therein, for it is an abomination to Yahuwah your El. Now, this is one of those verses that I've got highlighted. I encourage you, if you're into highlighting verses in your Bible, this is an important one. It's right towards the end of chapter 7. I will contend that when I remember looking at idolatry and tried to understand his reaction and his literal hatred for idolatry and how it is that we are supposed to deal with these things, this is a key one. All right, the graven images of their gods, you're not just to despise them, break them up. No, you burn them with fire. And furthermore, he says, don't even covet the gold or silver that's on them, nor take it into you. Wow. lest you be snared by it. But wait, the next verse is going to be even more damning. But this sets the stage for an understanding of really how much idolatry should be despised and how much the whore church is guilty of some of this stuff. It's amazing. This, he says, these things are, they're not just hateful to him. This is Toiba. This is the most powerful word of disgust in the Hebrew language. It's abomination unto Yahuwah. And he says, you shall not even bring an idol into your house. I read that and I think, no bunnies, no eggs? Yeah. I don't care if they're on sale at Walmart for 90% off. You don't bring an idol into your house. Why? Because lest you be accursed like it, and in fact, what you'll do instead is you are to utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is a devoted thing. And that word there is kerem, and that's always a fascinating word in Hebrew, because devoted is one of those words that we don't think of it this way in English, but what it means is something can be devoted to a god. And something can be, for example, devoted or pledged to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And there are certain things, and he makes it clear, you know, like the firstborn or things that are offered up to him in certain circumstances, those are devoted. Those are his. And likewise, there are things that are devoted unto fake gods. They are utterly detestable, utterly abhorrent. Don't even bring those things into your house. All right, the next chapter, chapter 8, begins with this. All of the commandment, and this is ha-mitzvah, which I command you this day, you shall observe to do, that you might live and multiply and go and possess the land which Yahuwah swore to your fathers. You shall remember all the ways which Yahuwah your El led you these 40 years, Bamidbar, in the wilderness, that he might afflict you, to test you, prove you, to know what was in your heart, and whether or not you would keep his commandments. And he afflicted you, and he suffered you to feel hunger. He fed you with manna, which you didn't know, at least not up until the last 40 years, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know. And here goes another one of those verses that is quoted by Yeshua. It appears in literally all of the, all three of the Gospels, Mark 4:4, Luke 4:4. It's kind of interesting. In those two, it's the very same numbering in the English. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every debar, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahuwah does man live. Now notice he said, your clothing didn't wax old upon you, nor did your foot swell for these 40 years. And you didn't, you shall in fact consider in your heart. In other words, yada is the root word there. Yada means know at a gut level, know instinctively, like a man knows his wife. Yada is an intimate, first-hand, experiential form of knowledge. You shall know in your heart that just as a man chastens his son, so does Yahuwah your El chasten you. He loves you, he chastens you. That's a good thing. And you shall keep the commandments of Yahuwah your El to walk in his ways and to fear him. For Yahuwah your El brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths, springing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey. A land wherein you shall eat bread without scarceness, you shall not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you may dig brass. So in other words, a land that is rich in mineral wealth as well. And you shall eat and be satisfied, and bless Yahuwah your El for the good land which he has given you. Beware, though, he says, lest you forget Yahuwah your El, not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command you this day. Now pause, okay? As we go through here and read these things, I do think it's instructive to do a bit of compare and contrast with what we have been fed, the line of lies, in what I, in this case, explicitly refer to as the whore church. Because if we've ever heard the lie that the Torah, the law, is done away with, nailed to the cross, he is saying no. Don't believe that for a second. You're not to do that because why? It would cause you to forget Yahuwah. Why, hell, they don't even know his name anymore. They don't teach it anymore. Not keeping his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances, which I command you this day. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and satisfied, and you built goodly houses, and you dwell in those nice houses, and you look around, you see your herds and your flocks, and they multiplied. You got lots of silver and gold, it's multiplied. All that you have is multiplied. And just maybe your heart gets lifted up. In other words, you get haughty. And you forget Yahuwah Yireh, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, who led you through the great and dreadful wilderness, wherein there were serpents, fiery serpents, and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water, and brought you water forth out of the rock of flint, who fed you there, Bamidbar, in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers didn't know, that he might afflict you and test you there, and do you good in the latter end. And all of these things, in other words, you might say in your heart, ha ha ha, my power, the might of my hand has gotten me all of this wealth. I'm so hot, I'm such a fabulous dude. Yeah, answer, don't fall for that one. But you shall remember Yahuwah Yireh, for it's he that has given you the power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be that if you forget Yahuwah Yireh, and you walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I forewarn you this day, you shall surely perish. Just as the nations before you were made to perish, so you will perish, because you would not hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah Yireh. And then chapter 9. Now this is going to be another very similar rendering to the most important commandment in Scripture. Starts out similarly. Shema Yisrael. You are to pass over the Jordan this day, to go in to dispossess nations that are greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim. So these, in fact, are sons of the sons of giants, whom you know, and of whom you've heard said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? So know therefore this day that it is Yahuwah Yireh. It's he who goes over before you as a devouring fire. He will destroy them. He'll bring them down before you so that you shall drive them out and make them to perish quickly, as Yahuwah has spoken unto you. Do not speak in your heart after Yahuwah has thrust them out from before you, saying, oh, it's because I'm such a righteous dude. For my righteousness, Yahuwah has brought me in to possess this land. Whereas it's the wickedness of these nations, which Yahuwah is driving them out from before you. In other words, it's so hot, it's that they're pretty nasty. And by the way, that's part of the reason he keeps saying, do not follow after their gods, don't make marriages with them, don't be tempted to be snared by their idolatry. That's what got them kicked out. Not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart do you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of those nations that Yahuwah Yireh has driven them out from before you, that he might establish the word which he, Yahuwah, swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and unto Jacob. So know therefore, it's not for your righteousness that Yahuwah Yireh is giving you this good land to possess it. Because you know what? Y'all are a stiff-necked people. So remember, do not forget how you did make Yahuwah Yireh wroth, angry, really PO'd in the wilderness. From the day that you went forth out of the land of Egypt till you came here unto this place, you have been rebellious against Yahuwah. Also in Horeb you made Yahuwah wroth, and Yahuwah was angered with you. He would have destroyed you. When I was gone up to the mountain to receive those tablets of stone, even the tables of the covenant which Yahuwah made with you, I abode there on the mountain, remember, 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't drink bread, nor didn't eat bread or drink water. And Yahuwah delivered unto me the two tablets of stone, written with the very finger of Elohim. On them was written, according to all the words, the Deborim, which Yahuwah spoke with you in the mountain, out in the midst of the fire, on that day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that Yahuwah gave me the two tablets of stone, even the tablets of the covenant. And Yahuwah said unto me, arise, get down quickly from here, because those people, your people, those ones that you brought forth out of Egypt, have dealt corruptly. They're quickly turning aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves an idolatry, a molten image, the infamous golden calf. Furthermore, Yahuwah spoke to me and said, I've seen this people. Behold, they are a stiff-necked people. So just leave me alone, he said. Now, this is word for word what Yah said, and it's key. Leave me alone that I may destroy them. blot out their name from under heaven, and I'll make of you, talking to Moshe, a nation mightier and greater than they. So what was it Moshe didn't do? He did not leave Yah alone. So he said instead, though he turned and came down the mount, and the mountain burned with fire, the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands, and I looked, and behold, y'all had sinned against Yahuwah, your El. You made a molten calf. You had turned aside quickly out of the way which Yahuwah had commanded you. So I took hold of those two tablets, and I smashed them on the ground. I cast them out of my two hands, and I broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before Yahuwah as at the first. 40 days and 40 nights I didn't eat any bread or drink any water because of all your sin which you had sinned in doing that which was evil in the sight of Yahuwah to provoke him. So you provoked him big time. For I was in dread of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith Yahuwah was wroth against you to destroy you. But Yahuwah hearkened unto me that time also. Moreover, Yahuwah was really PO'd at Aaron to have destroyed him. I prayed for Aaron too at the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which you'd made, and I burnt it, he says, with fire. And I beat it into tiny pieces, grinding it very small, until it was as fine as dust. Then I cast that dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. So this is the, it looks analogous in certain ways to the remedy for the jealous husband. This idea of grinding something up, putting it in water, and making the wife that is presumed to have committed adultery to drink it. So he is reminding them of that aspect of the story. And of course, what we know is that those that were guilty, somehow or other, they were, let's just say, put out of the camp permanently on that day. And continues Moshe, and at Tabra, and at Massah, and at Kibrot Hatta'avah, you made Yahuwah wroth. And when Yahuwah sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of Yahuwah, your El. You didn't believe him, nor did you hearken to his voice. And you have been rebellious against Yahuwah from the day that I first knew you. So I fell down before Yahuwah those 40 days and 40 nights, because Yahuwah had said he would destroy you. And I prayed to Yahuwah, and I said, O Yahuwah Elohi, destroy not your people and your inheritance that you have redeemed through your greatness, and you have brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Do not look unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin, lest the land whence you brought us out would say, because Yahuwah wasn't able to bring him into the land which he promised to them, because he hated him, well, that's why he brought him out to slay them in the wilderness. So it's a bit of psychology. He's trying it on the Most High. And I think essentially the way I read the story is Yah already had pretty well figured out that's what Moshe was going to try to do. So he is allowing himself to be convinced here. And yet they are your people and your inheritance. And you did, by your great power and by your outstretched arm, bring out your people. So at that time, says Moshe, Yahuwah said unto me, get yourself two more tablets, hew some more out of stone, just like the first ones. Come up unto me in the mount, and make yourself an ark of wood. And I'll write on those tablets, the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. And you can put them in the ark. So, says Moshe, I made an ark out of acacia wood. I hewed two more tablets of stone, like the first ones. And I went up to the mountain, having those two tablets, or tables, in my hand. And he wrote on them, according to the same thing he put on the first ones, the 10 words which Yahuwah spoke unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and Yahuwah gave them unto me. And then I turned and I came down from the mountain. I put the tablets into the ark which I had made, and there they are, as Yahuwah commanded me. And the Bnei Israel journeyed from Beerot Bnei Yaakan to Moserah. There Aaron died, and he was buried. And Eleazar, his son, ministered in the priest's office in his place. Now from there, you journeyed to Good God, and from Good God to Yotbah, land of brooks of water. At that time, Yahuwah separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah, to stand before Yahuwah to minister unto him and to bless his name as it is unto this day. So therefore, Levi has no portion nor inheritance with his brethren. Yahuwah is his inheritance, according to Yahuwah, your El, as he spoke unto him. Now, I stayed in the mountain, says Moshe, as at the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And Yahuwah hearkened to me that time also. He would not destroy you. And Yahuwah said unto me, arise, go before the people, causing them to set forward, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. And now this is interesting. And now, he says, Israel, what does Yahuwah Yireel require of you but to fear Yahuwah Yireel, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yahuwah Yireel with all your heart and with all your soul. Think about John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So, to keep for the good, for thy good. In other words, it is good for you that you keep the commandments of Yahuwah and his statutes, just as I command you this day. Behold, unto Yahuwah Yireel belong the heavens, and the heaven of heavens, and Haaretz, the earth, with everything that is therein. Only, Yahuwah had a delight in your fathers. He loved them. And he chose their seed after them, even you above all peoples, as it is this day. So circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and do not be any longer stiff-necked. For Yahuwah Yireel, he is the God of gods, Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty, the awful, who regards not persons nor takes reward. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. He loves the stranger, giving him food and raiment. So you too, there, love therefore the ger. The ger is the stranger, those who are foreign to the tribes. For you too were strangers in the land of Mitzrayim or Egypt. You shall fear Yahuwah Yireel. Him you shall serve, to him you shall cleave, and by his name you shall swear. He's your glory. He is your El that has done for you these great and tremendous things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. Now, Yahuwah Yireel has made you like the stars of heaven for multitude. And from there he continues. This is the final chapter in the Parsha. And it says, therefore, right? So we've got the setup. Therefore, you shall love Yahuwah Yireel and keep his charge and his statutes and his ordinances and his commandments always. Ha yamim. So literally all the days. And know this day, because I'm speaking not with your children that have not known and have not seen the chastisement of Yahuwah Yireel, his greatness, his mighty hand, his rosterous arm, his signs, his works, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the kings of Egypt, and all his land. And what he did to the army of Egypt and their chariots and their horses, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued after you, how Yahuwah destroyed them unto this day, and what he did to you in the wilderness, and how you came until now into this place. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened up and her mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, every living substance that followed them in the midst of Yahuwah. But he says, your eyes have seen all the great work of Yahuwah, which he did. Now, note, he is speaking to a people that everyone over the age of 20, of course, has since perished. Their carcasses has promised to fall in the wilderness. So no doubt there were a lot of these folks that are listening this day that did see these things. Many of them were younger. They could have been anywhere from toddlers or infants to not quite 20 years old and still be standing there. But most of them would have been, in fact, young. And they may have seen the things. But I guess the key point is here, even if they didn't or don't in some cases remember having seen them, they've heard about them. They know about them. So they're very close to these events. Your eyes have seen the great work of Yahuwah, which he did. And that, of course, is true because they have also seen the continuation. They've seen the pillar of fire by night and cloud by day. They've seen the manna. As a matter of fact, they don't know anything else. Therefore, he says, you shall keep all the commandment which I command you this day, that you may be strong, go in and possess the land where you are going over now, cross the Jordan to possess it, that you may prolong your days upon the land which Yahuwah swore to your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go in to possess it, it's not like the land of Egypt from which you came out, where you did sow your seed and watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs. But the land where you're going over to possess now is a land of hills and valleys that drinks water as the rain of heaven coming down, a land for which Yahuwah Yireel cares. For the eyes of Yahuwah Yireel are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass. Now here's another one of these interesting prophetic and promises. Notice the key word in the sentence is if. But it says, it's making a promise. It says, it shall come to pass if you hearken, Shema, diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love Yehuyarel, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give the rain of your land in its season, the former rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your corn, your wine, your oil. And I will give you grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. So take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And the anger of Yahuwah then be kindled against you, and he shuts up the heavens, so that there shall be no rain, and the ground will not yield her fruit, and you perish quickly from off the good land which Yahuwah gives you. Therefore, you shall lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and listen to this and see if it sounds familiar. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. So, yeah. In fact, what this is that you might call it Shema Israel Part 2. The part that we read every week, Yehuah Eloheinu, Yehuah Echad, and you shall love Yehuah with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. This is the part that follows that. You're to bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they are to be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. So, you know the tradition. And this is one of those that is right out of Scripture. I don't have a problem with it. A little box, and the little box is also called a metzutza. And the doorposts of your house, plural, are metzutzot. So, the little box is the thing that they put on the doorpost, and they actually write on a little scroll and wrap it up and put it in the little box, these exact words. So, what this is a literal attempt to fulfill the commandments. I like the sentiment. I think it's worthwhile doing. I don't see it as a commandment per se. The commandment is to do it, but the idea of having a little box there at the doorpost is certainly a one way of looking at it. Again, I don't have a problem with that. I think it's a kind of a charming custom, if you will. All right, so all of this, so that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children upon the land which Yahuwah swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of the heavens above the earth. 4. If you shall diligently keep all of this commandment, which I command you to do it, to love Yehuyarel, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will Yahuwah drive out all these nations from before you, and shall dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves, every place even whereon the sole of your foot shall tread, that'll be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the hinder sea shall be your border. So from the river to the Mediterranean. There'll be no man able to stand against you. Yehuyarel shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all of the land that you shall tread upon, as he has spoken unto you. And with that, the Torah portion comes to an end. So it's an interesting summary. A lot of things that we've heard before, a lot of things that are essentially really tremendous, underscore flashing red indications of the level of hatred that he has for idolatry, and a restatement of the promises, and the idea that there is a conditional here. If you shall hearken diligently unto the commandments, to love Yahuwah, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then these good things will happen.